your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
That's me, Rick Moore. Thank you for joining me here today on a lovely, it's Easter Sunday. I believe it's also Passover weekend. Hopefully everyone celebrating those two religions is having a wonderful time. It is a nice, shiny, comfortable day. Thanks for tuning in wherever you are, inside, outside, upside, downside. We have two programs today. We're going to start the first and give some folks needed in town a little bit of time that they need to share what's going on. Ari Daniels is here with us from, he's the chief coordinator of Earth Week in Charlottesville. What's all the proper title there, Ari?
Well, we're calling the event the Earth Week Eco Fair. So.
And tell us what that is.
The Earth Week Eco Fair has been building up for about 8 years and, basically, our purpose is to help educate and get people to congregate and spread as much information as possible about ways that we can all be responsible with regard to environmental stewardship and how we can green our planet and our community. And we're going to have over 75 exhibitors there.
Where is where?
The Charlottesville Pavilion this year. We've been very lucky with the venue. So this coming Saturday, April 18th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Charlottesville Pavilion at the east end of the downtown mall will be a huge event. Like I said, we've got 75-plus exhibitors made up of local conservationist organizations, government agencies, green businesses, holistic healthcare practitioners. I've got a huge free concert event. We've got TR3, it's the Tim Reynolds Trio, Beleza Brazil, Adrian Young, Trees on Fire, a lot of people know, 4 to 1 is a local UVA group, two African drum ensembles. We've got pretty incredible speakers, I think. Tom Perriello is our keynote speaker. We've also got David Slutsky and Jerry Stenger. And there will be all kinds of children's activities and family fun, and it should be just an absolute blast.
Yeah, so it sounds like a party for people who love the outdoors and the green parts of life.
It's a party for everybody, but we're focused
on the food? Green part.
We've got food there.
Drinks?
Definitely drinks. Absolutely.
Definitely drinks. That appeals to many people listening to this program. That's how I get a lot of listeners, is those who are still in bed.
And it's all coming from Virginia.
Costs?
Costs. Well, food and drink, unfortunately, are not free, but the event absolutely is. So
if we wander to the downtown mall.
You should definitely wander.
I can party for free in terms of learning, participating, and helping.
Absolutely.
And then when I want to eat and drink, it's no different than any other day.
Right.
I have to pay for it. But while doing so, I'm also participating and helping and enriching Virginia-based folks.
You're absolutely helping the cause. And you said something about helping. Are you volunteering to help us out that day?
Are you trying to talk me into something on air? I am helping right here, right now, by giving some wonderful promo airtime to Ari Daniels and the folks at the Eco Fair.
You are indeed, and we thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much for coming.
Earthweek.org.
Earthweek.org.
Yep, that's actually our local website, so earthweek.org for all the details.
Earthweek.org for the details. All right. Anything else you want to toss out there that people need to know?
Global change, local action. Be the change and be there.
All right. And be there is this coming Saturday on the downtown mall to learn, to play, to work, to eat and drink.
All of it.
And it's child friendly, I'm sure.
It is. We've got a bike rodeo and face painting and everything. So.
All right, man. Thanks, Ari, for popping in today. Appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
All right. And good luck. I'd say I'll see you there next Saturday.
Right on.
All right, Ari Daniels stopping by today to give us a few minutes of fun time coming up this Saturday on the Charlottesville Downtown Mall. All right, the remaining part of the show is going to be about the Meadow Creek Parkway, the good, the bad, the long, long life of the Meadow Creek Parkway. Let me take a moment and thank all those listeners out in Lovingston on the 94.7 for being with us today. as well as the Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for giving us some support. Where spring means it's time to come in and get outfitted for trail running or hiking, whether you're experienced or just starting off. The staff at Blue Ridge can get you to all the right places. At BRMS.com, you can find out about backpacking clinics, guided hikes, paddling, and community events. You'll find Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville. They're at Wintergreen and in Richmond. All right, so let's fire up the right buttons and test to see whether Sean and I have gotten them all in place with our guests today as we talk about the Meadow Creek Parkway. We have John Cruikshank from the Piedmont Group of the Sierra Club. John?
Yes, thank you so much for having us here today.
Oh, and thank you. And thank your microphone for working well. And we have Stratton Salitis, Coalition to Preserve McIntyre Park.
Happy Easter, Rick.
Thank you, sir. Thank you as well. I appreciate you gentlemen coming in. It's, you know, Sundays are one thing to get folks to come in and partake in the topic for their Sunday. But when they start to become beautiful, sunny, comfortable Sundays, people say, hey, can I call you from my cell phone? Well, if you want to call in today, you can. Call us on the cell phone, 979-0919. And then when you have folks in here who are passionate about their topic, which is the Meadow Creek Parkway, I don't think it would have mattered to you when you got in here, would it?
Well, I found 4 chocolate eggs on the way over here, so I'm happy.
Did you find them out by my car?
I think it was far enough away. You know.
All right. Meadow Creek Parkway, Stratton Salitis, John Cruikshank here. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Feel free to dial us up and participate. I'm not going to remind you, don't worry about the computer instant message, because the computer by me is not up and functioning today. So strictly phone calls, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, as we get into the topic of the Meadow Creek Parkway here in Charlottesville. And don't turn away if you're just if you don't live in the Charlottesville, Albemarle area, because some of this, to talk about building roads, plays across to wherever you live. So we'll get into that, especially with John here from the Piedmont Group of the Sierra Club. Guys, this project goes back 40-plus years, is that right?
1967 was the first time it was officially drawn up.
Why are we still discussing this 42 years later?
That's a good question. And the Piedmont Group of the Sierra Club, to the best of my knowledge, has been opposed to this project for about 20 years. And I'm one of a long line of Sierra Club members who has taken this position. I feel very strongly about this on a personal level. I think part of the reason is because I'm a retired educator. I work for 35 years in the public schools, and I still work one day a week as a volunteer in a kindergarten class. And I really care about children, and I feel that children really need green spaces. They need natural areas, and it's very, very important to preserve them wherever possible. This park has importance to children because children really need to get outside. It's good for their health. It's good for their self-confidence. It's good for their creativity. And it's just important to preserve every bit of parkland that we can. I read a book this past year called Last Child in the Woods by Richard Louv. And I just want to read a quote from that book, because a lot of my ideas about this and the importance of giving children an opportunity to get out into nature is from this book. He says that urban children and many suburban children have long been isolated from the natural world because of a lack of neighborhood parks or lack of an opportunity, lack of time and money for parents who might otherwise take them out of the city. Well, here we have a park that's right in the center of the city. I think it's incredibly important that we protect it, that we make it more accessible to everybody so that you don't have to get in your car to drive to the park. You should be able to walk there or ride your bike.
Well, all right, so I have two-part question to that. One is, how many people actually walk to that park because of the fact that it's by the 250 bypass. So you've already cut off a fair number of people because of that busy and somewhat dangerous road to get to the parkway. And second, if we need the road, or we need a road to do what the parkway does, which certainly seems like half of our citizenship believes, can we not create another park to replace the one that's there to put in a needed roadway?
Well, I would agree that it's difficult to walk or to ride your bike to that park, but that can be changed, and that's part of our plan. I'll talk about that later. I don't agree that we need the road. I think that I'm just going to quote Andrea Furster here in an article that she's written about road building. She says that current research shows that building or widening roads is not necessarily an effective, long-range solution to traffic congestion. To the contrary, building more highways can have the opposite result of stimulating additional trips. It's called latent demand, and accelerating new development, induced growth, which in turn generates more traffic. So we need to give people an alternative to the automobile, and we need to make it easier for children and adults to get to McIntyre Park. And you're right, that's something that needs to be remedied.
Rick, I'd like to go back to your earlier question, is why are we still talking about this? And I think, first of all, we need to see from whence this project was born, in a sense. You know, in the 60s, it was all the rave to do urban renewal and then put a highway right through the center of your town, usually where the poor people lived. And then that, of course, is a good thing for the suburbs to be able to then commute through the town. And people don't seem to realize that that was the plan here as well. And when we talk about how old the Meadow Creek Parkway is, well, really, I would say that it started with Ridge McIntyre after the destruction of Vinegar Hill. And then after that was completed, only a couple of years went by before then they proposed McIntyre Extended, which is the Meadow Creek Parkway. But first they had to get that part in right through the heart of the downtown. And by breaking the project up into many segments, people didn't really get a sense of the overall plan. A lot of people don't know that part of the plan for many years, and perhaps is still in the plan under the name of Northern Free State Road, is phase two of the Meadow Creek Parkway, which could go as far as Profit. So by breaking these things up into these various segments, the public has really never had a good idea of what's going on here. And I think if we say, well, why has this been going on so long? It's pretty clear that the people who are pushing this are the people who own real estate on either end of the parkway who have a lot of money to gain. Buy the land cheap, get a road put in, and then you can sell the development for more.
Stratton Salidis here from the Coalition to Preserve McIntyre Park, John Cruikshank, Piedmont Group of the Sierra Club, as we talk about the Meadow Creek Parkway. Stratton, that last comment about the people having real estate benefiting from the road. Mm-hmm. So I guess I disagree with that, because regardless of what my viewpoint is on building the roadway or not and its necessity or not, they're 50%, because it's been battled back and back and back and forth for 30 years, 40 years. There's a very large number of people who believe that the road is needed, and obviously they don't all own land work. Now, they may be incorrect in term, as John mentioned, about the need for it, and if they had a different, if something else was presented to them as a way to solve the problem, that they may not go for it. And you said that they don't understand the whole project because it's been put forth in different segments.
Well, that's just one way that there's been deliberate confusion sowed, I would say.
But there must be another way to present the issue to this 50% group of people besides what's been done. I just have a hard time believing that there is this mass divisiveness over this topic. And one side says, you just don't understand what's going to happen. I just don't believe that 50% of our citizenship either doesn't care, and so they don't learn more about it, or is so confused by it that they can't learn more about it.
Well, as I said, there's a deliberate campaign of confusion. And when you say, 50%, I'm not sure exactly where you're getting that 50%.
Well, because nothing's happened. Okay, so it's 60-40% if you look at the city council members.
Well,
that's
but
still
if you
a
look
large
at,
number.
If you look at the public hearings, over 2/3 of the people who come to the public hearings are opposed to the project. And when we're talking about who's for this project, I encourage your listeners to check out the board of the Free Enterprise Forum. And every one of those people is working on projects either at Pantops or on 29 North. And they have links to the Chamber of Commerce, Blue Ridge Home Building Association, and the Charlottesville Area Association of Realtors. And over the years, there has been a tremendous amount of disinformation. So naturally, citizens are confused. If you read the papers, you're going to be confused. They're constantly saying things that are simply not true. And one of these things is the fact that it would decrease traffic in Charlottesville. It's well known, if you actually look at the documents, that right away this road would increase traffic in downtown Charlottesville. Nobody who knows actually says otherwise. They say it would decrease traffic maybe on Rio and 29, but on opening day, this is a road that would increase traffic in Charlottesville. So that's just one of the big myths, and we'll talk about some other ones.
Well,
hopefully.
Let's talk about that for a minute. And I don't know that I'm going to get both sides of this, Stratton Salidas, Drunk Cookshank, both representing organizations that are not for the parkway, correct? I mean, that's let's toss that out as very apparent and very open
absolutely.
To start the hour.
Oh, yeah.
11:17 here on the wake-up call. Feel free to dial up and make your comment, ask your question. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. What do we lose by building the parkway? And let's try and keep this in a minute number of items. And do we gain anything positive by building the parkway?
I can't think of really anything positive. The parkway would basically turn Charlottesville into even more of a cut through than it is. It's a shortcut to get from 29 North either to the Pantops area or to 64, I-64 down Fifth Street. It will make it easier for people to get to the downtown area if they live in northern Albemarle County. I mean, if that's a positive thing, but I don't see that as positive because I think really what we need to do is instead of building more roads, we need to have alternatives to the automobile. We need to have a better public transit system. We need to have better sidewalks, crosswalks, and bike paths. Here they're talking about putting millions of dollars into this disputed parkway when you can't even walk from Fashion Square to the Northside Library in Albemarle County. You can't cross, you can't walk safely across Route 29 except for a very few places. Now, those are the areas where we need to be investing our transportation money. VDOT is supposed to stand for the Virginia Department of Transportation. But really what it is it's a highway department. They basically build roads. They need to stop putting the preponderance of their investment into highway construction. And we need to maintain the roads that we already have. We need to make them safer. And we need to put money into public transportation, into pedestrian travel, and bicycle travel. And right now, it's been very lopsided.
All right, we are talking about the Meadow Creek Parkway here, a much discussed roadway here with lots of folks on both sides of the argument. 11:19 here on the Wake Up Call.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Sunny today, highs 55 to 60, lower 60s in Lynchburg and Richmond. Clear tonight, lows 35 to 40, mostly sunny tomorrow morning with some clouds and potential rain tomorrow evening. Highs 50 to 55. Right now, it's a beautiful day across the listening area. 48 in the Valley, 49 in Lynchburg, 50 in Richmond. And in Charlottesville, it's 48. WNRN wants to congratulate Colin Holmes of Charlottesville and Karen Blackburn of Afton, our final grand prize winners from the spring fun drive. Colin will be taking home the spring camping package from Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, and Karen will be heading down to Manchester, Tennessee with a friend for Bonnaroo. Karen, I'm available. If you have a need to pay your pledge, please do so as soon as possible. And thanks again to everyone who helped WNRN raise over $94,000 in the spring fund drive. The best total ever here at WNRN. And Blue Ridge Graphics needs a shout-out. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom T-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. All right, back in action with John Cruikshank from the Piedmont Group of the Sierra Club. Stratton Solitis, the Coalition to Preserve McIntyre Park, CPMP. Guys, we talked right away about the project being over 40 years old. In what ways has the project, the plans, changed?
Well, one thing that's changed is initially it was supposed to be a four-lane road all the way through Charlottesville, and they actually widened 5th Street to the south of Charlottesville, to the southern part of Charlottesville, in anticipation of those four lanes. And over time, in order to get this road through, it's been limited to two lanes. But, of course, once it's through, I would say in a few years, once the parkway is then filled up with traffic, once we've decided to put through two lanes through, why wouldn't we expand it to four?
But that's not a current plan. That's just a belief.
No, that's not the current plan. Although I do believe that the county has purchased right of way that is wide enough for a four lane parkway, and there would be nothing to stop it in the future. Is the plan? I mean, is the point? Why would we build two lanes if we know that soon they are going to be filled with traffic, and we wouldn't be willing to add another two, which seems to be less of a step than putting those first two through the park. So that's the major change. Also, another change is that initially the parkway was supposed to go, I believe, all the way to the county office building, but that segment has been removed as well, and now it just stops at 250 more or less, although the ramp of the interchange goes a little bit more, which is one of the other confusing things is – they're still maintaining that the interchange and the parkway are separate projects, but, of course, they meet each other in the middle of a field.
Yeah, Rick, I think that's one of the things we need to point out is that they've had a difficult time. They've been wanting to build this for 40 years, but they've had a difficult time building it for a number of reasons. And one is that it is not easy to build a road through a public park, because there are environmental laws in the United States that protect parks. And there's Section 4F of the National Transportation Act. There's NEPA. There is also Section 106 of the National Historic Preservation Act. And a lot of these laws were passed in the late 60s and early 70s when we had a rather radical environmental president, Richard Nixon, in office. And these laws are there to protect parks and natural areas and historic areas. And there are historic areas right around McIntyre Park. In fact, McIntyre Park itself is eligible for the National Registry of Historic Sites. So what VDOT and the city and the county have attempted to do is they have, because it's hard to build through, particularly using federal money to build a road in a park, they've said that instead of this being one road, it's three roads. And they have the northern part between Rio Road and Melbourne Road. They're calling that the Meadow Creek Parkway. Then there's the section that is in McIntyre Road itself, which has not been
McIntyre Park.
I'm sorry, McIntyre Park itself, thank you, which has not been approved yet, and they're calling that McIntyre Road Extended. And then there's the Route 250 bypass.
And, interchange.
I'm sorry, interchange. It's at the bypass. Glad I have you here, Stratton. The part of their problem right now is that there is a federal money, $27 million of a federal earmark that Senator John Warner arranged to have passed through the Congress, is the money that is being used or would be used for the interchange. And that interchange is actually going into the park. And so they're trying to say, well, that's a separate project, and you know that's not going to be used to build a road in the park, and they could go ahead and do this if nobody challenged them on it, but legally, if somebody challenges them, we actually feel that this project can be stopped in the courts.
979-0919 1-877 WNRN Rocks is toll free. Stratton Salidas, John Cookshank here as we talk about the Meadow Creek Parkway. Here's a question from John in Batesville. How much money has already been spent on this? I would assume that it has something to do with studies. And how much money is the road now projected to cost?
Well, it's a little tricky. As John mentioned, the final approvals and even the final design for the interchange and McIntyre Road Extended have not come out yet. And also due to the economy, some of the estimates have lowered some as well because some of the construction firms are more eager for work. But it's hard to say how that's going to pan out in the near future as well. But a pretty close estimate for the overall project including the county and the city and the interchange, is close to $70 million for this whole project. And in terms of how much money has already been spent, I think there was about $1.5 million that got spent of federal funds, actually, when McIntyre Road Extended, which is the city part of the Meadow Creek Parkway, it used to be a federal project, and they spent about $1.5 million at that time, back in the 80s, 90s, But then they had to actually defederalize it and make it back into a state project. And that came shortly on the heels of having trouble with these same federal laws that now they're trying to avoid with the federal money that they got for the interchange. And in terms of money spent on the interchange design process so far, I'm not sure. Council authorized $1.5 million to study the interchange, at least, and then there might have been another authorization. And then recently, they moved some money, $8 million, into the account for the interchange, but I don't think too much of that has been spent yet. But an important point here is that if we stop the parkway, at least the city side has what's called urban transportation funds, and we would actually recoup that money. Just for McIntyre Road Extended, at least. It's hard to say what would happen with the interchange money, but it's possible that we could get that for a much smaller scale down interchange, which would provide bike and ped access to the park without a Meadow Creek Parkway. So
but
that's a possibility,
the
too.
The city, as much as I don't live in the city anymore, but I lived within a block of downtown mall for more than a decade. The city, to me, is not exactly known for great expenditures on public transportation. Yes, they've done something in the last 5 or 6 years for the bus.
A bit.
They put in these bike lanes down West Main Street, but even those were put in at a much smaller width than most of the bike folks would say is the safe figure. How do you get them to do this? What brings them forth? It's one thing to say you can't put this roadway in because it's a park. Okay? John, you mentioned to start the show about the necessities of having open green spaces for our children or for everyone else's children, since I have none. But how do you then get the leadership to turn a little bit to the side and say, fine, we'll spend it over here if that's where you want, because they don't have that history in them, in my mind.
Well, I would like to say that I do feel that our leadership in Albemarle County and in Charlottesville are concerned about public transit, and I think that they are making some progress in that area. There's a lot of cooperation, and they're forming, and I'm not sure the exact name right now, but like a metropolitan transportation organization where the UVA and the city and Albemarle County are cooperating together in transportation planning, particularly for mass transit. So I'd have to say that I think they're moving, you know, they like to move in the right direction. But I also, in order to get the city and the county to move in that direction, is you really need to contact your elected leaders. I think that that's important, and I feel like we have had some influence on events that have occurred in the last few years. And just to give an example, the City Planning Commission voted against the Meta Creek Parkway recently, and there was $450,000 in the capital improvements plan budget, and they voted to take that out of the budget for the coming year. We're hoping that the city council will do the same thing. If they do, it will certainly cause a new roadblock for this whole project.
You know, when you're talking about changing the mind of elected officials, I think the first thing to do is just to get them to tell the truth. As I mentioned, it would actually increase traffic in downtown Charlottesville. Another thing is they're constantly waffling about where the funds could be spent. And another thing that they talk about is how it would benefit Charlottesville economically, but it would actually be bringing more cars where we don't want them, to the pedestrian area, to the downtown, and it would be taking cars away from our main retail areas, which would be Seminole Square and Barracks Road, and bypassing those areas and turning would-be city shoppers into county shoppers.
Hold on for just a second. Wouldn't many of those folks, you said, increase traffic in the downtown Charlottesville area? Would the business owners in the downtown area say, fine, you're saying that all this, you know, business, all these business retail sales are taking place on 29, bring it into Charlottesville.
Well,
we don't mind.
A lot of those cars are just going to be going right through Charlottesville. As John mentioned, between Pantops and 29 North or 29 North and South of Charlottesville. And also, I think more people in Charlottesville is great. You know, if we think about moving people, that's a good thing. But I don't think downtown Charlottesville is going to be a better place with more automobiles. And also, there has only been one study that I know of to look at the traffic impact of this road in downtown Charlottesville. There have been plenty of studies other places where they think it might do a little good, but they have turned a blind eye, really, to Charlottesville itself. So they don't have any evidence to show that these cars can actually, once they get to Charlottesville, move around freely in Charlottesville as opposed to just causing gridlock downtown.
Stratton Stellitis here from the Coalition to Preserve McIntyre Park, John Cruikshank, Piedmont Group of the Sierra Club, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks. Stratton, there was a lawsuit to prevent the property being given to VDOT, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Quick explanation of what that is, and then what the final result was with the lawsuit.
Okay. Well, first of all, let me go back to an earlier question about how much money has been spent. I didn't mention how much money was spent on the county side. Some people have probably already seen that the county has already started taking trees out north of Melbourne Road and south of Rio Road. Fortunately, just north of Melbourne Road, the city actually owns some land in which was a Charlottesville High School softball field for the girls' softball team. But so that's owned by the city, that CHS land, but it's in the county. According to the Virginia Constitution, Article 7, Section 9, a city has to have a supermajority to give away its public land. And only three of our councilors voted to give that land to VDOT. So that's what the lawsuit is about. We're saying there should have been a supermajority to give away this public
because
land.
Because 3 of 5 doesn't qualify.
Right. That's
it would
right.
need to be. It's supermajority is defined as 3/4. So in this case, they would have had to have 4 votes. to transfer the land.
So we've had one case so far, one day in court, and that was to see if we were going to get a temporary injunction, meaning will the judge stop the construction just until the court date, which will then determine whether it was legal or not. We did not get a temporary injunction, but the judge did say that we had standing, which means that we have the right to engage in this legal action. And he also said that there was no case law on this, and it could go as far as the Supreme Court. The next court date is May 19th, and that's where the actual issue at hand will be decided. As to whether or not the city did in fact need a supermajority to give away that public land.
Could I just say that neither Stratton nor myself are attorneys. However, probably one of the best known legal experts in our area recently wrote a letter to Dave Norris, the mayor of Charlottesville. This is A.E. Dick Howard, who is the White Burkett Miller Professor of Law and Public Affairs at UVA. And I'd like to quote him. This was on Dave Norris's blog, I think it's called. And I copied it from there. And Mr. Howard writes very eloquently, and it's about a three-page letter about all of the reasons he's opposed to this parkway.
I hope you'll read less than that.
I will, I promise. And we've already explained a lot of those. But here's one that talks about the legal issues. It's just one paragraph. The injuries being done to our city by the parkway proposal are compounded by the proponents' evasion of state and federal law. There is serious doubt whether the council's simple majority vote to convey the easement of city land for the project satisfies the requirements of the Constitution of Virginia. It is true that a local judge has refused to grant a preliminary injunction, but that judgment does not reach the merits of the case. Judges are typically reluctant to grant a preliminary injunction in cases like this. Even more serious is the manner in which the parkway has been deliberately segmented in a way to avoid federal environmental impact review. Ever since the proposal for a parkway first surfaced, common sense obliges us to understand that this is one project. Yet now we are told that there are several freestanding projects, one of which, the so-called McIntyre Road Extended, ends in the middle of the park. In truth, there is one project, not more. The only reason to pretend that there are segments is to create a fiction that a parkway is being built with state funds, thus avoiding federal environmental impact review, separate from the interchange, being built with federal funds. Fictions of this kind are an insult to the intelligence.
11:38 here on the Wake Up Call as we talk about the Charlottesville Meadow Creek Parkway. Be right back.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, smoke detectors are present in virtually every American home, but it was another type of detector that potentially saved nearly a dozen lives on the downtown mall last month. So why don't more people have them? A fraternity prank leads to real jail time and threats of even greater punishments if that prank happens again. And is it true we are what we read? What do the books on your shelves say about yourself? The Hook, a two-time winner of Virginia's Top Journalism Prize. And that's no joke. And support today also coming from Wilderness Voyagers Outdoor Wear and Equipment, holding its annual Tent Day sales event Saturday, April 18th from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Over 70 tents will be on display featuring hiking boots, shoes, sandals, packs, and other items. Wilderness Voyagers Outdoor Wear and Equipment, 1544 East Market Street in Harrisonburg. And not that you would, but don't go anywhere, because at noon, Drew Thompson is here for Les Temps Perdue, the best of 80s and 90s alternative. No Rick James or Hanson or New Kids on the Block, But you will hear The Clash, the B-52s, and Pearl Jam. Requests are always welcome. That's Les Temps Perdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music and Basil Restaurant. All right, we're back in action with John Cruikshank from the Piedmont Group of the Sierra Club and Stratton Solitis from Coalition to Preserve McIntyre Park. We were talking about the lawsuit and the issues that may happen with that, and then John, you brought up the letter from A.E. Dick Howard. And again, they seem to flow together because Professor Howard says, don't break these up into different segments because they're not.
And he also says, get a supermajority if you want to condemn this land to being asphalted over forever.
But they can't get a supermajority because two members of the city council are very much opposed to that conveyance of land. It's a conveyance from the city to the Virginia Department of Transportation.
Go ahead, Stratton.
Well, I was going to say something that we haven't covered yet, and something that I would put again into the category of a propagated myth is the idea that the city somehow owes this to the county, that the city has approved this, and that's just plain wrong. The city has approved it, or at least some of the city has approved it, as we discussed, not a supermajority. So that's the first thing. But then also, even the ones who did approved it with conditions. And these conditions have simply not been met. One of the conditions that was in a 2006 letter was that the stormwater containment systems be combined into one pond that they were going to consider to be a recreational asset. Thank you. And that never happened, or at least that couldn't happen because it wasn't going to work out from a water perspective. Probably the most important condition was a network of roads being built in the county to prevent the Meadow Creek Parkway from turning the city into a cut-through. That has not happened. Initially, it was going to be the 29 bypass, and then the county dropped that ball. And then since then, the most important road has probably been the Eastern Connector, and that does not have any funding, and there's no feasible route for it. So here we are. The word is on the street, if you just read the papers, that the city has dropped the ball. But in fact, if the city were to be building this parkway now, it would be holding up its end of the bargain without getting those conditions met.
I'd like to point out that we're not advocating that those other roads be built, because we just feel that we have enough roads and that we need to find other ways to get from one place to another besides using the automobile.
I'm curious, John Cruikshank from the Piedmont Group of the Sierra Club, I think that the general belief, accurate or not, is that the Sierra Club is a special interest group and wouldn't like any roads to be built.
No, I don't agree with that. I think that certainly there are some roads that do need to be built. I would say what is more the case, though, is that the road system that we do have should be maintained and improved. It should be improved not just to increase the flow of traffic, I mean, making easier for cars to move, but also to make it safer for cars to drive. And I think that's really important. So we're not against all roads, but I do feel that in our area here, particularly in the city, we have plenty of roads, that we are lacking in green space, that every bit of green space should be protected, that we need a better public transit system. I have a kind of an alternative plan that I've put together on what we think should be done in place of this Meadow Creek Parkway project, if I can share that with you for just a minute. And I've actually sent this to both the supervisors in Albemarle County and the city council. The alternate plan would be to first abandon all plans for a Meadow Creek Parkway, which would allow motorized vehicles. Create a bikeway and a pedestrian path from Rio Road to Melbourne Road, where VDOT is already starting to build the parkway. Create a similar bikeway and walking path on the east side of McIntyre Park without disturbing the golf course. build a safe crosswalk at Melbourne Road, which connects those two paths, and then use the $27 million of federal money to improve safety and traffic flow at the intersection of Route 250 bypass and McIntyre Road, and to provide park access to pedestrians and cyclists. And that access could be through a pedestrian bridge. Use the remainder of this money for mitigation to purchase the Rock Hill Gardens and incorporate them into McIntyre Park. Any money left over could then be returned to the federal government because we know that they can use it. And what we would have then, hopefully, would be that we would create a safe bike path and walking path along Rio Road from K-Tech to Penn Park. And this would create a linear park that would go all the way from downtown Charlottesville up to Penn Park and maybe eventually to Darden Tow Park, when a walking bridge is constructed over the Rivanna River.
All right. You're talking about potential changes to things. I guess your version. Sierra, are you representing the Sierra Club when you toss that out, or is that your personal?
I am representing the Piedmont Group, yes.
So that's
in Central
an official
Virginia.
Piedmont Group suggestion for ways to redo this.
I will say that our executive committee has all approved this, yes.
All right, let me take this call, guys. Got your headphones on, John?
No.
And we're going to have Nathaniel from Albemarle. Hey, Nathaniel.
Hey, how you doing today, Rick?
Doing well. Toss out your question or comment, please.
I'll state my question and I'll hang up so I can listen. But I just want to know, either one of these guys are going to force the Albemarle residents and Charlottesville residents to suddenly become pedestrians and bicyclists when, unfortunately, we live in a car culture. The United States is simply an automobile culture, and there's very little you can do about that. And why bother building pedestrian trails and bike trails when everybody's going to drive? That's what everybody does. So I'm just curious how exactly either one of these guys is going to make that happen.
All right. Thanks for the call, man. You're making me laugh. Because he's right. Nathaniel is dead on right. It's one thing to put them out there, and, you know, you can put bike paths for bicyclists because they're there and you already see them. But I have to agree with him. How do you make the citizens do this?
You don't make them do anything. Currently, we in the public sphere prioritize drivers over people. So it's easier for people to drive. So I think we should make public investments and use our current rights of way in such a way that make it easier for people to take a bike or public transportation or walk or share rides. And it's not going to happen overnight. And, of course, we're not talking about ripping up roads and suddenly stopping everything that already exists. We're saying from now on, let's gradually move in the direction of walking, biking, and transit and mixed-use pedestrian-oriented development, as opposed to taking this huge step to actually encouraging car culture to continue for the next few decades. And I think, you know, you were saying what we would lose by doing this road. I think we have a tremendous opportunity. In a sense, because this has gone on for so long, we've got some money stored up, particularly the city, as I mentioned, in the Urban Transportation Fund. If we can kill this thing, also, the county is going to have to find other ways for dealing with its traffic problem instead of just building more roads, which ultimately then leads to a bigger problem, like, you know, an alcoholic maybe feels better taking a drink for a while, but then down the road, it's not going to improve the situation. Charlottesville, by building this road, would essentially be an enabler to the county, so it wouldn't have to live up to or deal with its sprawl problem.
I would agree that we do have a car culture, but I don't think that that is part of human nature, and I think that we can certainly change. So I think this is a time for change to be made. I think we need to have balance, and in other parts of the country, they are achieving that balance. If you go to Portland, Oregon, a similar project to this was stopped in Portland based on the federal environmental laws, and people are able to get around that city quite well because they have, first of all, they have free bus service inside of the city, and it's a lot easier to ride your bicycle around there and to walk. So, yeah, we do have a car culture, and I drove here this morning. I mean, I'm guilty of it also. But I think I'm one person who would like to change, and I know there are many people in Charlottesville who are looking for opportunities to get out of their car and to walk or to bicycle.
And actually, in recent years, it's been the first time in decades that there has actually been less vehicle miles driven per person. So, in fact, we are seeing a shift already.
All right, we've got a call from Bob in Keswick. Bob says, do you know of any mass transit system that is actually profitable? And my follow-up would be, if they're not profitable, how do you offset the fact that the needed mass transit system is costing you money?
Well, the first thing to remember here is that, is the Meadow Creek Parkway profitable? We would be spending $70 million of public money to subsidize more sprawl growth. So when we talk about transportation, we don't expect roads to make a profit. So why would we expect mass transit to make a profit? I would say the benefit that comes from mass transit is with pedestrian-oriented development, you can actually get more economic activity in a smaller space with less public investment relative to auto-centric development. So that's how it would benefit the city. And in addition, I would say pedestrian areas like the downtown mall foster community relations between different classes, and they foster democratic exchange of ideals, unlike the parking lot of a strip mall.
11:51 here on the wake-up call with Stratton Salitis and John Cruikshank as we talk about the Meadow Creek Parkway.
Well, I would also just like to add to what Stratton said, because when you're getting people out of their cars and getting them to use public transit and biking and walking, you're also doing a favor for the environment. You're putting less pollutants into the air, poisons, CO2, which causes climate change. I mean, it's a much better investment. The public highway system in the United States that was created in the 1950s hasn't really turned a profit at all. It's cost millions and billions of dollars. So when we talk about, where are we going to put our money? What's the better investment? And I see public transit as a much better investment.
And in terms of people using bike facilities, I see quite a bit of bikers out there. And I think one of the big impediments to biking is that you find yourself biking near a road, and there's the pollution and danger associated with that. I think if we had a bikeway stretching from 250 through the park and all the way up to Rio by K-Tech, that could be a project which would give people an opportunity to experience just how great biking can be and what a wonderful form of transportation it can be, especially when you don't have to be riding right alongside cars.
11:53 on the wake-up call. Dial up, ask your question, make your comment, such as Bob or Nathaniel. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks. If you're joining us late with John and Stratton, you can catch us on the podcast later on today or tomorrow, www.sevillepodcast.com.
You know, Rick, we were talking about the parkland earlier, and also I was mentioning the conditions that had not been met. One of those conditions is that VDOT was to purchase replacement parkland for the land lost.
Yeah, that's one of my questions. Is mm-hmm. Doesn't the agreement create, replacement parkland?
Mm-hmm. But let me talk about that. One of the things is, well, now that road, first of all, that replacement parkland, almost none of it's actually in the city. All of it's further from the city. We're taking this land, McIntyre, which is downtown, and then instead of that, we're putting this land that's in the county further from the city. Also, we would be treating an area right now that is relatively unbroken up and not right by a road, and we would damage the existing park and give it the danger, the noise, and the exhaust of automobiles, and the replacement parkland would also have a road running through the middle of it. So it'd be very different in terms of the quality. Another thing, in terms of getting to the number that was agreed upon, VDOT asked the city staff and got permission to count land the city already owned, in part, as replacement parkland, in order to get to that number. Another thing they did in order to get up to that number is, if you look at the actual deeds of that replacement parkland, the numbers say up to so and so many acres. In every case, they took the maximum number, even though by the time construction's done, it might be actually a little less land. So that's just one of the examples out of many, many that we don't have time to go over right here, where reality has been skewed somewhat, and people would have no way of knowing these things. It didn't even come up before council, this notion of, hey, is it okay to use some of what is already city land for replacement parkland.
11:55 here in the wake-up call. Finishing up our last few minutes on the Meadow Creek Parkway. Let me thank 45fix.com for being with us today. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate no-obligation estimates available anytime. That's 45fix.com, the number 4 and the number 5 and the word fix. .com. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg as we finish up the Meadow Creek Parkway. Gentlemen, here's a question from Lucy in Charlottesville. Lucy wants to know, how was Charlottesville viewed across the state in terms of transportation? And I'm going to assume she's talking about the 29 bypass never being built. And so there's this horrific stretch of road for people who are trying to transfer through the area. The fact that 64 came to Charlottesville instead of going to Lynchburg. And, you know, this road, this potential road, Meadow Creek Parkway, may be taking city drivers, county drivers, local drivers off of Route 29. So answer that. Answer her question. How is Charlottesville viewed across the state in terms of transportation?
Well, honestly, I don't know that I'm in a position to answer that particular question. A lot of my work has been more local than going all over the state. But I would say that in terms of 29 North, the problem isn't that we needed another road. The problem is that they put so much development on that road instead of saying, hey, this is a throughway, let's make this limited access. And that process continues with new stoplights and developments and such. That should be curtailed. And also let me say that if we were to build this parkway, as John mentioned, in a growing area, when you put in new asphalt, that creates more development potential, and particularly sprawl development potential. So then that would just lead to more sprawl. And in 5 or 10 years, it's been shown, again, look at induced travel, then you have just as much traffic as you did before, but now you have that traffic on another road in addition to the one you had before.
You know, you guys keep talking about McIntyre Park being sliced and diced and taken away, but nobody can get to it now. And that's obviously a slight exaggeration, but not just walking mm-hmm. and biking, but even driving. It's a very slightly used park. Unless you're talking about softball players. Is there any positive aspect of, opening the park up?
Well, this
Absolutely.
Wouldn't open.
I'm talking about by putting the road in there.
The road would not open the park up because the road does not provide access to the park.
It skips right on through. There's
no
exit.
It skips right on through. Exactly. Right. There is no access to the park that the road would bring.
But I agree with you, and that's why when I was describing my plan, we need to improve access to the park so that people can walk to it and ride their bikes to it. Right now it is very hard to get to the park. I actually have my suspicions that that's the result of some purposeful actions that have been taken because they wanted to build this road, so they didn't want too many people to get in there and use the park who would then be opposed to the construction of this road.
All right, guys, we need to finish up last few seconds or so. Stratton, website where people can continue to gather information.
Well, stoptheparkway.com. If it's not up yet, will be shortly. And John, would you like to say anything about how people might contribute to our legal effort?
Right. We are asking local residents who want to save McIntyre Park to contribute to our legal fund. This money will be used to pay attorney fees and
court
costs.
All right, real quick. I got to turn it over.
Okay. So just you can probably go to the Piedmont Group of the Sierra Club website, and you can get all of the information there on how to contribute to our legal fund.
All right, so Google Sierra Club Charlottesville, and that will take you there.
Piedmont Group of the Sierra Club.
All right, guys, thank you so much for coming in. Obviously, this is a topic we need to do again later. Next week will be a foodies show with Mark Gresge from La Toile.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.